To Die For podcast includes the spooky, scary, salacious, and sometimes psychotic. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, I mean, I guess it'd be bad if it wasn't liquid urine. But,
golden,
you know.
Showers.
I hit the button.
Who does this? Who does that?
Trump?
Not me. Ew.
Is that are you saying that you have never been peed on in the shower?
I've peed on Alexis, but not.
See?
But I don't.
So wait, Alexis has never gone and tried to pee on you.
No.
Hmm.
She knows that the revenge would be too much and too swift. She knows I'm immensely more gross than her.
Yeah, you sneezed in her mouth.
I'm trying to think about I think I'm more disgusting than my husband, for sure.
Oh, she definitely is more disgusting than I, but yeah. She keeps it under wraps.
Well, but how are you winning then?
Because I don't give a fuck about what people think about me, so it just comes out.
Right, okay, so she has social restraints around how disgusting she will be.
Exactly. She has she has scruples, and I have none. I feel like you don't have scruples either. We might be scrupulous.
I mean, I do, and it's kind of funny because it'll be all of a sudden. I had a friend kind of confront me on that once, and he's like,
"What do you mean, like your scruples kick in all of a sudden?"
Yeah, and all of a sudden I'm like, "No, we're not going to do that." Like, it's like a rule that I've decided that I'm like, "That's why am I breaking this rule?"
I feel like Lissy has scruples that are always, most of the time, unless she's a decider. She decides. I can't decide. It just, there you go.
I shouldn't
have said that. Okay,
I have a question though. Do you have an ongoing dialogue in your head of like kind of introspection, or do you just like look at shit?
Oh yeah, I constantly am like, that's racist. I shouldn't say that out loud. Or
okay,
that's not. I shouldn't say that. Yeah.
So is it just constantly, I should stop talking, oh, you said more things, but that's
right.
What I'm thinking.
So like the mental reprieve of that is just to say everything, and then you're free as a bird.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then nobody talks to you anymore because you share too much. Lizzy, I know for sure you have a constant dialogue.
Oh, for certain.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, did I just come up with that? For certain?
For certain.
For certain. I like it.
For sure, remember.
So, yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
For certain.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that's most people.
So, hey, this is To Die For.
What are you thinking right now? Don't tell us.
Yeah. She wants to kill us. She's like, why
probably
did I do this?
Oh my God, I wish they would stop fucking talking.
No. I mean, that's the glory that you have, is you can just edit all of our shit out and be like,
you know how much she hates doing that? She probably hates
us. I mean, I would. This is why I'm not running the podcast.
I would hate
it.
Probably
wouldn't go very far.
Right? I mean, I stopped editing myself, which I watched a video yesterday where I was like just searching for some junk for like a minute. And I was like, maybe I should have edited that.
Nah, just leave it.
No, I was
like,
just
enjoy.
Like, it's fine. Information's here. We're good.
It's perfect. All right. Well, I am Lizza, and this is Lolo.
Sup?
Okay. And Noodles.
Hello. I'm not going to appease you guys anymore. Hello, everyone. This is
me. Were you trying to appease us before?
A little
bit. You were failing if you were.
I know.
Damn.
See, that's... Yeah. Hello, everyone. Don't listen to them. I'm exuberant.
Really loud.
Cow.
No, it doesn't sound loud for you. It just sounds loud for
no.
me.
No. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Turn your mic off.
I'm just weak. No, I don't know.
Yeah, no. You know, lines and shit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this is episode 45. And this one ended up being like way more bizarre than I remembered. So we're going to split it up into 2 weeks.
All right.
Another two-weeker.
Two-part.
Are we doing half spooky, half murder? Or are we like in each episode? Or are we doing murder and then spooky?
We're quad jetting it. Spooky murder. Spooky murder.
Spooky murder?
Murder.
For Sherton.
For Sherton. No, we are murdering this week and spookooey.
Spookooling?
Sounds like spelunking, but in like a terrifying way.
Spookle.
But also like some bukkake and spelunking. Like, good.
Spookaki.
Spookaki.
We need that.
You know what? That's what we haven't had is any ghost bukkake.
That's right. That's right.
Also known as spookaki.
Honey, I've been spookakied.
I just had a spookaki event.
Oh, event?
Yeah.
Like you had to buy tickets?
I mean, it was a ticket nobody wanted to buy. It was just given.
Definitely not the e-ticket.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to figure out how like a spookaki episode might go.
How would you even market that? Like
sticky. It goes sticky.
That's all it says. Come to our spookaki event. It's sticky.
It's sticky.
All right.
Well, this week's topic has its very own rhyme. So that's new.
Maybe I'll remember it next week.
Is it a haiku? Is that considered a rhyme or? That's I guess not. Not really. It's a poem.
Doesn't rhyme, I would think probably not. I could be wrong. All right. And I'm feeling sassy today, you guys. So just
it's because of the braids. They're just lovely.
Asinka.
You've got to take charge of us. We're fucking rebellious. You've got to smack us into shape.
Right,
look at
just
us.
Keep talking eventually.
Two fucking ADD kids and you're like
I know what I need, guys?
Nothing.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like wrangling fucking cats. There you go. You
I mean, fucking cats are gross.
Spookaki.
Okay. Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41. So.
Oh, geez, Louise. Somebody
yay,
needs
Lizzie Borden.
Child therapy.
Have you never heard that, Ian?
No.
Really?
No, what? No.
That, yeah, like that.
I feel like I have, maybe. Maybe Alexis said that, and I was like, and she said the same thing. You haven't heard that? And I was like, I don't know.
I wonder if it's more of a girl thing, because like you would use it like jump roping and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
What the fuck?
But,
you would jump rope to that as kids?
Yeah. No, it was like a little like, there's all sorts of like really morbid like
ring around
nursery
the
rhymes.
Like,
posies,
is about,
yeah,
Ring Around the Rosie is all about the plague.
Was that Scarlet Fever or something? Yeah.
So anyways, let's get down to some murder, and then next week we'll get all spooky in this
so,
bitch.
One whole week of murder.
Noodles, you don't know about this story at all.
No, I mean I don't. I can get the gist maybe of the rhyme.
Feel like you will love this story. This is a pretty gnarly story, and I do find it fascinating, and I think it's actually one of the murder ones that I'm like, yeah, let's talk about
To all the 69 listeners out there, I'm with y'all. I don't know shit about this fucking story.
How can you? No, everybody else actually does know.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope.
No, it's just you. Just.
Yeah.
No, that is the one thing about Noodles, is if I want to do something that he doesn't know about, if I just go back in history a little bit more, he doesn't know. Like, all the newer murders and stuff, right. he's like, totally.
On top of it. But
okay, I'd say like 75%. No, I'd say even more. I'd say 82.5% is New Age.
New Age.
And 17.5% is... like you were getting 30s.
Way too fucking technical.
30s. Right, I know the math started and I was like, uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, cool.
The rest of it cool. Past the 30s or earlier than the 30s,
nobody
I have
cares.
No clue.
Right.
I didn't say it.
Seriously.
For all those grandparents out there, I care about you.
Jesus. All right. Back on track. Lizzie Andrew Borden was born July 19th, 1860 in Fall River, Massachusetts to Sarah and Andrew Borden. Now, Andrew had built himself up to quite a wealthy member of society, with his estate being valued at about $300,000, or what would be a little over $8.5 million today. So, like, they're doing good.
I'm always so confused, like... when I think of money back then, like $8.5 million today. Mm-hmm. But if you only have 300,000, like you really can't spend it as much, right? Like a dollar, what is that? Like a dollar would be like a couple $1,000s, you know?
Well, you could though, because I mean, you know, lots of things were like a penny. You
right.
Know, so
yeah.
Everything
no.
Was
things
so
you,
cheap that
like $5 actually got you something.
I know, right?
Right. Instead of a
have
foot
a nickel,
long, which right. I don't think you could even get a foot long for $5 anymore.
I mean, and that's the whole point of like the inflation thing, like because you just apply it, it's giving us what the same amount of things that we could buy for. How much did you say?
$8.5 million
is what they had back then. They felt like they were 8.5 millionaires.
So this motherfucker's rich. And he's going to get murdered. $5. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I mean...
I don't know the story. Maybe he's going to... I don't know.
Okay. Well, even though he had money to burn, he was notoriously frugal. Like, kind of to the point of being a dick about it.
Sounds like somebody I like.
Yeah, you're funny about it. Okay, so for example, he wouldn't get his own family indoor plumbing or electricity, even though it was widely available to those of the wealthier class at the time.
What a boss.
He was just like,
what a baller.
No. No.
So great.
See, this is why you can't tell him stories about things.
I literally, I went to this burger joint. And they tried to charge me 50 cents for damn ketchup. And I said, I don't want this fucking ketchup. Fuck off. Like,
you not get the ketchup?
No, I said, take the ketchup back. I'm not paying for the ketchup. And so I ate it raw. I just ate a burger with no ketchup.
That's because not
you
raw,
didn't,
honey.
Yeah,
it's
no,
naked.
Right? I mean.
Anyway.
So were you just like mad that you felt like the ketchup should have come with the burger?
I feel like if you buy a burger with fries, there should be like unlimited amount of ketchup at no extra cost, but this is this is Russia. It seems
I mean,
like.
Was it?
Frugal man, no plumbing, no heat.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, he's got an issue about ketchup. Okay, he also refused to move his family to the more fashionable neighborhood, The Hill, which peeved Lizzie off to just, like, no fucking end.
Well, it now was, that's just sounding like she's, like, spoiled, but he is an asshole.
Yeah, but she's also...
a bitch.
Spoiled, yeah. So, yeah, The Hill was basically the hub for all the rich, non-Catholic white people in the area. So,
who aren't
you know,
frugal.
Just,
I think our goal should be to try and not let Lizzie read one fucking sentence.
We're really winning.
She's gotten maybe through one sentence. It's fantastic.
I think I'm going to be hungry at some point in time.
Five Guys. You know what they do? They don't charge for damn ketchup. That's right. They put it on there.
Just build that into their
cost. All right, we got a frugal guy. He's got a wife. She's kind of uppity because she doesn't get to live on the hill with the rest of the white folk.
Not the wife. I would be pissed. This is a fucking daughter.
That's his daughter.
Oh, daughter.
You're not paying attention to the story.
Daughter seems stuck up. I mean, she doesn't get plumbing. Now she wants to live on the hill.
So far, I think I'm siding. I've never sided so strongly with Lizzie Borden before.
Maybe if I continue, we'll see what happens. So Lizzie and her older sister Emma grew up relatively religious, and Lizzie was very active in her church. She even taught Sunday school to the youngsters. So that's kind of creepy. When Lizzie was only three, her mom passed away from Lolo. You're gonna like this one. It goes back to like the everlasting faint, uterine congestion.
So a miscarriage?
No, it's called a period.
It's not what that's called.
Yeah,
that's
uterine congestion.
Wow, you should not talk.
Is that not what that is? It is, oh. Right? A schluff?
Your uterine
a shirt and schluff?
And it got uncongested.
Nasal spray. That's all you guys need. Claritin nasal spray.
Uterine congestion. So, like, is there actually some sort of definition behind this? Like,
no.
Because, I mean, pretty Look much this is like pre-gynecological like knowledge anyways. So it's all like just a miracle.
Somebody was spot on back then. Okay. That makes total sense.
Yeah, no, it was, uterine congestion and disease of the spine. So,
Bad combo.
Yeah, not great. So only a couple of years later, Andrew married Abby Durfee Gray. Durfee. That was the only reason I put her whole name in there.
Thank you. Durfee.
Durfee's got uterine congestion again.
No, that was the first
one. All right, continue.
So it was not a match made in heaven, at least where the girls were concerned. In regards to Andrew, it was probably just a marriage of convenience. And Abby was like, he had a couple of like young girls. He's super busy. Oh, right. He's like, cool, you're an old maid. Take care of my kids in my house. And she's like, ooh, you're super wealthy.
Throw these kids in the damn river. That's what she's going to do.
Yeah. Nope. That was last week. So for them, it was not definitely not a love match. But the girls, on the other hand, Emma openly disliked her new stepmother. And Lizzie, who would never specifically say what her feelings were, did say that she thought Abby only married Andrew for his money. Probably true. And both girls only called her Mrs. Borden, and they would rarely eat meals with their parents.
So I have to say that I did find out that uterine congestion is actually a thing.
Oh.
Like a present day thing. It's apparently enlarged varicose veins. No, you didn't tell us shit.
I told you, I did.
You were like, it's like a period thing. No, it's not. But it's going to sound like a period thing. Enlarged blood vessel. But it's not a period thing.
69 listeners, just know I was right. That's all you need to know.
Nope. You just look that shit up yourself. Anyways,
there you go.
Go on.
Moving on. We fast forward to 1892 when shit really begins to fly in the Borden house, which many believe led to the gruesome murders of the elder Bordens. So at this point, Lizzie is 32 and Emma is 41, both women still living at home and are very firmly, quote, on the shelf, as they used to say.
What does that mean?
That means that no one's gonna marry them.
Why?
Yeah, they were old maid or spinsters or whatever.
What spinsters mean, really? No. I didn't know that.
Yep. Spinster. Of course, at this point, though, if you've hit 20 and you're not married, you're an old maid. So the fact that they're 32 and 41 is like...
Are we talking really like now, present day, or like back then?
Back then. Back then. You get to 20 and like you really should be married and probably working on...
Well, because also you're not living that long either. And you need to have kids for heirs and shit. So,
yeah, so
it makes a little bit more sense to... You know, take people off of the market.
It's just weird.
Still fucked up.
People are called spinsters at age 40.
At
20.
I'm just
I mean, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were very firmly a spinster, or whatever you want to say. And it kind of seems like they were a mix of super spoiled and then like super moody brat child, like even though they're in their 30s and 40s. So, yeah, that's fun. They're living at home. Dad's taking care of everything. They don't have to do.
Do we think that they're 40-year-old virgins? Or?
I would think so.
It's probably.
That's awesome. Yeah.
In the first part. Yes, it's a movie, Ian.
No, I'm just thinking about it, like, back then, like, if we made a movie of
it would just be sad.
It would be kind of sad.
In the first part of the year, Lizzie, who is an avid animal lover, had built a roost in the barn to keep her pigeons. And then in May... Andrew apparently had had enough of that because he thought local kids were sneaking onto his property to hunt them. I don't know.
Hunt what?
The pigeons.
The pigeons.
Oh, okay.
In the roost. So I don't know. Like maybe if you were poor, you were eating the pigeons. I don't know. But his genius solution was to kill them all with a hatchet. So...
the pigeons.
Yes, not the kids.
Yet.
I was going to say. The rhyme in this story threw me off a bit. Continue.
I wrote this knowing that, or like assuming that just everybody knew this story, so this is so weird to me.
Right?
It's so weird.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Some of us haven't heard this beautiful rhyme. While playing wonderful hopscotch and other,
are you trying to like growth shame us or something?
No, I'm just never saying these horrible things to myself or friends. That's all I'm saying.
Girls are violent and vicious.
Jesus,
man.
Right?
Young, being a
you don't girl, know something. Wow.
I mean, we just sang Slim Shady lyrics. That's all we did.
Wait, are you like significantly younger than both of us?
Yes.
Oh.
What? I can't sing Slim Shady lyrics? Okay, how about this?
Okay, Slim Shady lyrics didn't exist when we were little kids, okay?
Okay, well, all right. Well, they didn't really exist when I was a kid either. Shaka Khan lyrics. I never really sang Shaka Khan lyrics.
We're moving on now.
Okay.
Understandably, Lizzie was not happy with this turn of events because, again, they were like her pigeons and she loved animals. And then in July, the family had like some sort of huge blow up. I couldn't find anything that said what about, but I guess it was like this huge explosion. And so the girls left for extended vacations to a town about 14 miles east. And then another thing that was pissing off the girls was Andrew had begun gifting real estate to well-connected members of Abby's family. So I guess she had come from like one of the founding like families of the city, but by the time it had gotten to her family, they were pretty like low class. Like I think her father was like a pushcart peddler or something like that. But she still had, you know, well-connected family members with all the right names and stuff like that. And so he was just like, here, have some real estate. I don't know.
Hmm.
But the girls were like, absolutely fucking not. Like, that's our inheritance that you're giving away. And so they demanded a rental property of their own, which Andrew sold to them for a dollar, which was, you know, his dollar, mind you, because they never earned any money on their own.
Right.
And then they sold it back to him for $5,000 a few weeks before the murders.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
Huh. So these are things that I did not know about this murder, so that's exciting.
It is, I was getting into it, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, this will be, like, a good one, split it up, like, you know, and then I kept going, and it was like, this is
right. Bizarre. I didn't know.
Like, there's just so much weird shit.
Right? Well, I mean, it's not a healthy family.
No.
Who sells their own father? Oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think that that's, like, too weird. Especially at the time frame when it's not, like... Yeah, no, women, like, you were just fucking stuck to whatever man was in your life. You couldn't get money or anything, like...
Yeah, I get that, but...
They were getting, like, rentals out of it. Like, it was a rental property. So it was literally bringing them money every single week that they didn't have to do jack shit for.
Oh, I thought you meant that he sold them a rental property that they were renting out of.
No, they live at home.
Oh, wow.
And just continue to live at... Yeah, no.
So he gave them a property that was passive income for them. And they're like, thanks. All right. Now give us more money. Then, like,
and then, a couple months later, they're like, here, take it back, but give it to, or, you know, give us $5,000.
Like, we just want
we paid. Yeah.
It's a good interest rate, though.
Right.
Well, if that's how you could get away from the family, like, I mean, that's
but
how I
would
go.
Not really. Like, you're an unwed lady at that time. Like, I don't think you can just go and move out on your own. Like,
right.
I mean, I could be wrong, but
part of the spinster handbook.
Again,
you're stuck
with, whatever. You got to tie yourself to some dude.
Right. So all of that kind of boils up into all of this, you know, look. And that brings us. What was that?
Sorry.
Oh.
I clicked something I didn't mean to. I apologize.
It's like,
what
the hell was that sound? What are you watching?
Just
spookaki.
I mean, I've been looking at some of this, like, pelvic
what?
The
uterine congestion.
Uterine congestion.
That was the
also
sound
pelvic
of that.
That
congestion. Oh, no.
That was a uterine sneeze.
I thought that was called a queef. I guess that might be a burp.
Yeah.
Is that queef, a burp, or a sneeze? I think it would be a burp.
Yeah. I don't know if it matters.
I have questions.
I don't think you... No.
A queef is definitely a burp.
Biscuit burping.
Yeah, see? Okay. There you go.
Biscuit burping?
That's a thing? I'll send you the video.
Don't send her the
video.
No.
Oh, yeah.
She's already watching it.
Oh, no.
Okay, back on track. So during the week before the murders, the entire family had been violently ill. Abby actually feared poison, as Andrew was not necessarily always the most popular of guys in his business dealings.
Because he was a pinch penny.
Well, he was, yeah, and so, like, he really kind of didn't care too much if it was going to make him some more money, he didn't really care if it fucked anybody over or anything like that.
Right, yeah, so, no, we've already proven ourselves as not awesome people.
Right. On the other hand, though, it also could have been the mutton that had been left on the stove for several days to be used for meals.
Oh.
You know, yeah. Who knows?
How's refrigeration doing these days?
Well, they have no electricity or running water, so I'm guessing they're not really going for, ice or any of that either. Their live-in maid, Bridget Sullivan, who they called Maggie, also told a neighbor that she saw...
Fuck your name.
Oh, we'll get there. She also told a neighbor that she thought that they had been poisoned. And here is our quick little detour to give some more insight. The reason that they called Bridget Maggie instead of her actual name is because that was the name of their previous maid, and they didn't want to be bothered to learn a new name.
Uh-huh.
Right, yeah. It sounds practical to me.
Yeah, all of our maids' names are Stan.
I mean, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay, Lizzie herself would tell her close friend Alice that she thought someone had poisoned their milk and that she had seen a strange man hanging around their house and barn.
Do you think he was wearing a hoodie?
I mean, most strange men wear hoodies, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Says the man wearing a hoodie.
Touche.
Ooh, people are strange. Okay. I don't think there was any man at all, but you know, that's just me.
What man would be in that house? No man wants to be with those spinsters. Who wants to poison their milk? How do you even have milk? What do you get milk?
I mean, wait, but are they rich people with a cow?
I think so.
Yeah, they're cow rich.
Damn, cow rich sounds nice.
Cow rich. Sorry, I don't know why that's so funny. Okay, so the day before the murders, John Morse, the girl's uncle on their mother's side, arrived and was invited to stay for several days to discuss business. He did still come by from time to time, even though, you know, his sister had passed away. Usually in regard to like potential real estate deals. So they think that it's possible that Lizzie overheard details about a deal that would give another really large property over to Abby, further decreasing, you know, her inheritance.
Because Abby's the current wife, right?
Abby's the current wife, and he's already been giving away some properties to her and her family, and both of the girls are like, what the fuck? That's right, our money. Right. Yeah. So if another really big property was going to Abby, she might be like, mm-mm. So also of note that day, Lizzie had attempted to buy prussic acid, which is also known as hydrogen cyanide. Hmm. Yeah. You know, because that's just a normal thing.
I mean,
you go and
everyone
buy.
Should have a little bit of cyanide in their cabinets at all times.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know about that.
We have two yeses and one no on this one.
Yep, there you go.
Mine was an iffy. I don't know if I have.
Okay.
yes, maybe.
Maybe it's because you don't have a sealskin coat that needs to be cleaned.
I actually do not have a sealskin coat.
Oh, that's why she had the cyanide?
Yeah, well, that's why she said that she needed
what
it.
What you use it for.
Uh-huh.
Nice wink.
That was that was a very good wink.
Kind of looked like like a mannequin.
But yeah, like that's not a thing. Cleaning your coat with cyanide, not
who
a thing.
Like, okay. Who says that? Like, yeah. I need sulfuric acid. Oh, what do you need that for? Oh, just to scrub my tires. Like, you don't even know if it works. Like,
don't what? You use can't you use like sulfur on like your skin and shit?
Well, sulfur
people put that
is
on
different.
Your Well, but isn't it, like, I don't know. I don't know shit.
I don't know.
Clearly, that's a true statement.
That's a yes, tentative right there. We don't know.
There you go. You also needed a prescription to get it. I don't know what you would use it for, but I guess you could get it, technically.
And you said she attempted, but she didn't acquire
it. Right, because she didn't have a prescription, and the guy's like, we have things to clean your coat that aren't fucking cyanide. And so the pharmacist was like, yeah, no, we're not doing
that. Back then,
did
they, like, flag people like that? They're like, this bitch is...
We need
this
to spinster
watch. Is cray cray.
we need to keep an eye on that one. On a side note, the judge decided that this incident was too remote to have any connection to the murders and deemed it inadmissible, even though it was literally like within 12 hours of the murders. But you know, whatever. It was too remote.
This girl's desperate, man. She's like, need some poison. Shit. Couldn't get that.
Bonkers. Well, maybe it was more along the lines, I wanted to clean my coat. Can't do that. Guess I'm going to have to kill.
Oof, yep. That's even
she
worse.
She was angry.
maybe she figured
she would, you know, get all the messes out of the way at the same time. You know, clean your coat, clean up bloody murder. You know, it's just convenient.
Very convenient, yes.
Right. It's smart. Okay. So on to the day of the actual murders, which was August 4th. So in the morning, the family ate breakfast, and then the uncle left for the day at about 8:45 after chatting with Andrew for about an hour. And then Andrew left for his morning walk around 9 a.m. or so. Now, sometime between 9 and 10:30, Abby went upstairs to make up the guest bedroom, and this is where the first murder takes place. So it's thought that she was either facing her killer or in the process of turning to look at her killer when the first blow hit her. It hit her on the side of the head and cut her just above the ear. And then this caused her to turn and fall face down on the floor. And once down, the killer struck her 17 more times directly on the back of her head with a hatchet. I just like the two different looks you guys have going on here. I'm just not gonna.
Wow, that is.
Yes. Use your words.
I mean, I feel like after, like, a couple, you're just kind of slapping her in there.
I mean, yeah. Maybe you just are like, she's in, like, stress relief.
I mean, the sound must have been like stomping a foot in a puddle or something, you know? Like,
yeah, it's like...
Blah!
What? Ian's vagina sneezed. Sorry. Do you say bless you to that? What? Do you...
I didn't say anything. Her face.
Anyways.
God, she hates us.
Look at her face.
I don't understand.
Apparently, vagina sneezes are where she draws the line.
I mean, well, but it's Ian's vagina sneeze.
I didn't say it. You said it.
I did.
She said it, and then you corroborated it with a blat.
I've been quietly sitting here thinking about 40 bazillion blows, whatever.
It was 17, by the way.
Which, how did 18. They get to 40?
It was just over-exaggerated.
Okay, well, you know, 18, that's a lot different than 40.
It is. 18's a lot harder to rhyme.
Yeah.
18 is hard to rhyme, yeah.
Yeah, 40 and 18. 41. Yeah, not easy. 18, so I think that's where
Schwanky.
That
no, that
no, that doesn't.
Nope. All right. Well, at 10:30, Andrew returned from his walk but couldn't get inside as the lock had somehow jammed. Weird.
Darn.
So Bridget goes to open it up, and upon finding it jammed, she actually had uttered some sort of like swear word. And she would then testify that she immediately after heard Lizzie laugh, and it was coming from the top of the stairs. Now, this was pretty damning evidence, as anyone going up the stairs, or basically like with the floor or the layout of the floor on the second floor, God, that was stupid, The layout of the rooms on the second floor would have easily been able to see Abby's body, or at least her feet, or, you know, something. So, Lizzie, on the other hand, though, says she was never upstairs that morning. Mm-mm. Now, Lizzie helped Andrew settle down on the sofa for a nap, and when he asked her about Abby's whereabouts, she said that a messenger had delivered a note asking Abby to visit a sick friend.
Mm.
Now, the note was never found, and no messenger.
Because it was with Abby the whole time.
Yeah, who reads a note and puts the note down and then leaves? I just put it in my pocket. I gotta see a sick friend.
But they did find her body without a note on it.
Correct. Ooh, and no messenger or sick friend ever came forward. Like, this became a huge media circus. So somebody, if they existed, probably would have been like, hey.
I would think that somebody would have just said it just to say it so they could, like, then extort, like, money out of her.
Something, yeah.
So, like, there's dead people. One dead person. There's only one dead person.
Only one dead person. So yeah, so this note thing, not great. It's also really weird that, or I mean, not like super weird, but just unusual that she said that she helped her father remove his boots and then put on slippers. But in the crime scene photos, he's clearly wearing boots. So they also were kind of like,
how did he get his boots back on?
Right, like, or you're just not telling the truth or something, you know? Right. So it was just weird. Now, at around that same time, Bridget had gone up to her room on the third floor to rest after cleaning the windows on the first floor. I believe she took the back stairs so she would not have seen Abby's body. And then she had been ill, probably from the mutton in the morning. And then that mixed with the manual labor in the unusual heat wave that they were having had, like, really just... Yeah, she was out for the count.
Trifecta.
Right? Yeah, she was having a bad day. Possibly better, though, because she didn't, she doesn't get killed, does she?
She does not. Right. No. So at about 11:10, she heard Lizzie call out, quote, "Maggie, come quick. Father's dead. Somebody came in and killed him."
Mm-hmm. All accurate statements.
Come quick. His face is bludgeoned in.
I'm assuming. Somehow. This hammer just came out of nowhere.
This just in.
Yeah. Now, based on his body position and the fact that one of his eyes had been cleanly split in two, it's thought that he was asleep when he was attacked. He was struck 10 to 11 times on the left side of his head and face. Are you going to make it over there?
I was thinking, do you know how hard it is to, like, an eyeball is immensely strong. You wouldn't think it.
It's weirdly strong,
An eyeball is very strong. Or they're, like, wily, like, they can get out of being damaged a lot of the time. So an eyeball, like, split in two is pretty intense. Like, that's a lot of
force. A very sharp blade, for sure, right?
For sure. Yeah, for sure.
Well, and that was, you know, they thought that he was just completely asleep. So there was no opportunity for his body to try to, you know,
dodge.
Yeah, exactly. So Lizzie sends Maggie to get the family's doctor from across the street, and then the police weren't far behind him. And this is, police work in the 1890s is just great. It's another one of those cases where the investigation was just a disaster of epic proportions. I know.
Do you think so they thought they were doing a good job? Like, yeah, we did our best.
If they did, it didn't last long. So, like, I know forensics and such were, like, in their infancy or not even invented yet, but they also just completely fell victim to the gender roles of the time, which would be kind of funny if two people hadn't been, like, horribly murdered.
Right. They're like, there's no way that a woman could have done this.
Right. Yeah. You know, oh, the poor little lady.
Right? She's just a little spinstress. She doesn't know how to kill people like that. She can't wield an axe. That's men's work.
Well, and she's clearly not smart enough to have done anything like that and get away with it.
I am surprised that she was smart enough to do that. She doesn't seem the brightest tool in the shed.
Also, kind of hilariously, the majority of the police force was away at the annual police officers' picnic, so they were woefully understaffed for a crime of this magnitude.
Right? Like, because was this in a place where that, like, a lot of shit was actually going down, or is this, like, in the middle of nowhere?
It was actually it was a pretty decently sized town. It was, like, right on the water, and so there was, like, factories and mills and stuff like that. So it was a pretty bustling place. But they were, like, so understaffed that literally, like, they asked just some, like, bystander to try to keep the people, like, the growing crowds out of the house, which he did for, like, 5 minutes, and then he was just like, I'm gonna go inside and look around.
Right? You're like, fuck this shit, I wanna go see.
Why does that? When did that stop? The ability for just the random public to go, like, we're gonna go inside. God. Damn, you police officers, we're looking in there.
I mean, that
when
is.
Did
a
that
book?
Stop?
I think that is a.
I don't know.
Was this in? Because what year was this happening?
1892. So I think probably not until, like, forensics really became more of a thing, like fingerprints and stuff like that. But
because then you could actually, like, ruin some evidence or something.
Yeah. Hmm. But yeah, I don't know. So multiple people came in and out of the house afterwards, which never helps. It's just great for an investigation. The police interrogated Lizzie, and I gotta say, her answers were just, like, all over the place. So, you know, there's arguments that she was in shock, or that potentially the doctor had given her morphine for said shock, or more likely she just hadn't gotten her story down straight beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, her answers just really didn't look great.
Quick, Maggie. Look, my father's dead. Oh,
I know. Someone came in and killed him.
With, I think, this axe. It is bloody.
It's so weird. She started out by saying that she had heard a groan or scraping noise before entering that the house that morning.
Groan or scraping?
Because those are totally the same thing and sound alike.
You know, it's like, fine.
Yeah. She, you know, supposedly had been out in the hayloft in the barn in, like, the blistering heat looking for lead to make fishing lures for some fishing trip she was going on that nobody else knew about. So when she came back, she heard a groan or scraping. But then, like, 2 hours later, when she was talking about it again, she said that she hadn't heard anything. So they're like, that's weird.
Well, I mean, that's very convenient if you're trying to go with the, like, crazy, like, crazy broad, like, storyline. It's working
hysterical.
Out great.
Yeah. Right. Other times she would give answers like this one when asked about her uncle's visitations. Like, not sure if this was on purpose or not, but oh my god, I would kill her if she answered like this. So they asked her, quote, how many times this last year has he been at your house? Talking about the uncle. Quote, not at all to speak of. Nothing more than a night or two at a time.
Does she not actually believe that she killed them? Because I think that could also, because I do think that everybody in this family is fucked, just in general. Through general, like, assholery and existence.
She's She's like, her entire murder spree was just her sleepwalking, like jumping through puddles.
No, I don't think that she was sleepwalking. I mean, I think she just like, you know, like a disassociative like moment or some shit.
Fugue
like
state.
Yeah, like a fugue state sort of thing. She's like, or yeah, but I was she like fishing. It's
yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, I was watching some like Real Housewives, maybe it was like Vanderpump Rules or some, I don't know, something with crazy people in it. And this woman just was like yelling at this other woman and was like, see, I'm mean to you because you fucking deserve it. And I'm like, what? Like the whole time, the way that she was saying it was like, she was so certain that she was right and her bad behavior was 100% justified.
Lizzie. I'm like, I could care less about any of the Real Housewives.
Oh my god, fine, whatever. I don't give a shit. Like, crazy people be crazy.
They do. But also, I mean, she, the day before, she had tried to buy poison. So, like,
I think she was permanently disconnected from reality. Not like an intermittent disconnect, just permanently disconnected. So whatever she did, it was perfectly justified in her mind and nothing was done wrong.
Yeah, I think she very much felt justified that
everything that she says becomes truth in her mind.
Well, and I think her and her dad had had a very close relationship. There was also, like...
Really?
Some bullshit. Yeah, like...
12 blows worth.
I mean, not, like...
with one, like, right smack dab in the middle of the eyeball.
See, this is right, why I'm mean to you.
Yeah, see? I mean, it goes like with the movie, the Misery movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, no, it was, you know, like they were actually reasonably close, but like, you know, then Abby comes along and so like that's a little weird. And then he starts giving away her stuff, you know, what she considers her stuff to Abby. And she's like, oh, that, you know, that's
it. I'd be frustrated, right? I think. I mean, depending on how much land there is, right? Like, we don't know how much land it actually is.
Yeah, but everybody, like,
multimillionaire.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, there was a lot.
Giving one or two properties away to his wife. Like, you know.
Here, honey.
So I can see where if you were in this weird disassociative, like, you would feel like he had broken your trust and she's getting your shit. Yeah.
And then people just died because they had it coming, not out of anything that actually was done by me. I just was facilitating God, and I love him.
Oh, that's right. She's
there
really,
you go. She is very religious. Yep. So anyway, she's given off some weird answers. She also said that she didn't know if Abby had returned home from visiting the sick friend and asked if someone could go look for her, which was a little fishy because earlier when the doctor had arrived, he suggested getting a sheet to cover Andrew's body. And to that, Lizzie replied, better get two, which would be an interesting thing to say if she didn't know that Abby was dead. So at that point, when she said that, nobody knew that, supposedly.
How did, nobody like, knew. So they're not, like, they don't have, like, fucking recordings of this, like, how, like,
no.
Tell me, like, how did they know that that's, like, a thing that she said?
Well, the doctor was like,
The doctor
was like, yeah, he's like, that was said to me, okay.
One, she tried to buy fucking poison from me earlier, and now.
Right? Now everybody's dead.
But yeah, when she was like, oh, I don't know if Abby's home, someone should look for her. One of her neighbors who was hanging out at the house and Bridget headed up the stairs, but only got halfway up before they were directly at eye level with Abby's body. So they yeeted the fuck back downstairs. You know, nice of them to do it instead of the cops, but you know, what do I know? And so, keeping up with the very uptight Victorian times, the cops only did a quick glance over of Lizzie, but they didn't bother to actually look for any blood on her or her clothing. And then they did basically the same thing investigating her room. Like, they kind of, like, stuck their head in and went, like, looks fine to me.
Like, yeah, I think we're all good here. Everything seems to be in order.
And they would later confess that they had not done a proper search because Lizzie wasn't feeling well.
Oh, yeah, she ate the mutton.
Right? Oh, yeah. Nobody was feeling
well. And she murdered her parents, you know. But, you know. So in the basement, they found two hatchets, two axes, and a hatchet head with a broken handle. So they thought the one with the broken handle was the murder weapon because they said the break in the handle seemed to be new. And then the ash and dust on the head of the axe or hatchet looked like it had been deliberately applied to make it look like it had been in the basement for a long time. So basically someone kind of like smeared some stuff on there to make it look dirty.
That seems like more effort. I'm surprised that's more effort than I thought that she was going to put into it.
I mean, they don't know for sure, so...
Do either of you think about ways to cover your tracks,
mm-hmm.
like, legitimately?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have the thought, like, probably once a day when I'm, like, you know, using tape or something and my fingerprint gets on the tape, and I'm like, now it's... Yep.
What was that movie? I've
burned my fingertips off before, so I'm like, crime time.
Oh, crime time.
You don't just be like, crime time!
No. But I do
I mean, have you ever burned your fingertips off? Or your fingerprints, I guess?
I mean, I have burned my fingers, but not...
Not enough to actually, like, not enough to actually lose your fingerprints.
Not enough for crime time, no.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten crime time.
But that's what I think of each day. Anyway.
Cool. It's weird in your head. Oh, okay. So they find all of these axes and hatchets and stuff, and the police are just like, cool, look at that. And then they left them there. So,
wait.
You know.
Do we think that these police officers really just want to get the fuck out of there? Like, they're like, okay, I needed a smoke break like 20 minutes ago.
Well, I mean, whatever. I kind of wonder if they're just like, you know what? I don't get paid enough for this.
Hey, exactly.
Yeah, like, yeah, I think they were just so underprepared for anything of this magnitude.
Wait, got, well, like, everybody was on their, like, little, like...
They were at the picnic.
Right. Yeah. And so the guys that didn't get to go to the picnic, they're like, and we get to deal with this.
They're so flippant. Yeah. It's just funny to think of these guys as being so flippant.
I don't think they'd be flippant. I would just be like, well, that is literally going to scar me for the rest of my life. Like, fuck.
I'd be like, I didn't even get any cobbler. What the fuck?
They got, like, all of the meter maids. Like, that was who got left behind. It was the meter maids.
They just don't know what to do.
They're like, fuck, what do I do?
Everything seems fine. So, gotta go.
Yeah. You guys seem to have this handled. So, it took 2 days later, and then they did a more thorough investigation of the sister's clothing, and they actually took the broken hatchet as evidence.
How do you get 2 days and you don't get rid of that stuff? Oh my god.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you already figured that you were good.
Well, yeah, so no, my next sentence is on my next sentence is on this day, Lizzie was notified that she was now a suspect. So I think she probably was thinking that she was good, you know, and when they're like, yeah, you're not good, then, you know, weirdly the next morning her friend Alice came into their kitchen and found Lizzie tearing up a dress and throwing it in the fire because she said it had gotten covered in red paint, so she was getting rid of it. So, you know, not sus at all.
Damn red paint.
But yeah, like, you, especially back then, like, you didn't just have, like, clothes to waste. And even if you did, like, if somehow your dress got all fucked up, you would, like, cut it up and use it for, like, rags or, you know, things like that. Or depending on what it was made out of.
Where do you get red paint?
Pads. I don't know.
I mean, they had, like, red paint was a color that they had at the time. Like, I think, wasn't there, like, that was, like, okay, red paint, red door, like, symbolism in 1800s. That's what I'm looking at.
Okay, you do that. I'm going to keep going. So, yeah, so, you know, she gets rid of this dress, and you're like, that's strange. On August 8th, 4 days after the murders, she appeared at the inquest hearing where she was denied legal representation due to some, like, weird state statute. I don't know.
Crazy ladies don't get representation. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like, spinsters? Nope. Sorry.
Nope. Yeah, so her behavior was erratic, and she would often refuse to answer a question, even if the answer was beneficial to her, or she would just, like, straight up contradict herself all over the place. So again, like, just looking weird. On August 11th, she was served with a warrant of arrest and jailed. P.S. During her trial, the judge was like, yeah, no, we don't need anything from the inquest. And so that was all ruled inadmissible, too. So, you know, that's coolio.
Hey, this is, we should have been murderers back then, man.
Well, so here's, the red door would actually help you out for the murdering. So maybe I could totally see how she, you know, she was painting her door red because that means that you're willing to take in wayward travelers.
Oh, so like she was ready for, she was trying,
like, to, an Airbnb kind of thing.
I wonder if that's where the red light district came. No, that's something else.
I mean, I might actually kind of go, because
you would be.
Actually, they're like, yeah, maybe.
Extra. Yeah, take no, in. It might actually. It could
take in Jesus.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. I'm curious about that. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the day that she was served with the arrest and jailed was also the day of the autopsies. And during the autopsies, which, by the way, were conducted in the Borden's dining room where they had been hanging out since the murders. Yeah, the body's just there chilling. With them? Yep. Yeah.
What in the fuck? What yeah. in the hell?
So dad and stepmom just, like, I assume, like, laying on the dining room table for days.
She's just, like, continually eating the mutton that's, like, just to the right of them. Like, can't let these leftovers go to waste.
Yeah. Blech. They did test for poison in the family's milk and Abby and Andrew's stomachs, but they didn't find anything. It is, though, I guess, if she had used that the cyanide, it doesn't last very long, like, in the system. Yeah, the so it's entirely possible.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's entirely possible that by the time
she couldn't get any,
this,
though, right?
Right. So probably not any poison, but, you know, who knows?
She was working on it.
Right. And so talk about some, like, old school, quote, polite fat shaming. Andrew. Oh, yeah. So we're still in the autopsy, right? Andrew was described as, quote, body that of a man well nourished. Which, that's, okay.
I mean, I think that's a compliment at that time.
That's okay,
you
but
look
Abby,
well nourished. Oh,
on the other hand,
was fat bitch.
Quote, pretty much
Jesus.
Body that of a female, very well nourished and very fleshy. Like, fuck. Oh my god.
How do you be that guy and you, like, are seeing a bludgeoned woman and you're like, Not just well nourished, very well nourished. Not just fleshy. Let's put a very in there.
And then write it down in a medical report.
Well, I mean, you have to say that she was big and fat and it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, like, fuck.
What would it be like if he actually, like, liked big women? He'd be, like, very well nourished and Rubenesque.
Right.
You're very well nourished. I'm going to say that to Alexis after I get off this call. Hey, Alexis. You're looking very well.
Except she's not. She's a fucking toothpick.
I don't get it. Yeah.
So it was determined that Abby died no later than 10:30, but it was most likely closer to 9.
How? So they're really good at that, but everything else in terms of forensic, they're like total shit at.
Well, the coroner gets paid a lot more. The coroner's a meter maid.
So then Andrew was killed between 10:30 and 11, which means there's a very good possibility that there was an hour and a half to 2 hours in between these murders. So if, as Lizzie said, somebody came in and murdered them... They killed Abby and then
had some
hung out somewhere for like 2 hours where nobody else saw them.
They're like, oh.
And they didn't attack anybody else.
A library. Well, I've been meaning to read that chapter.
I think that she just like, where did Abby die?
In the guest bedroom upstairs.
I vote she was hiding in the, Abby was like, murder happened. Abby runs into the bedroom because she's fucking freaked out, locks the door, and then they just sit there and are like, you know what? You could just come out. Because there's
wasn't
not like
Abby, wasn't Abby murdered first, though?
Yeah, Abby's murdered first.
Oh, okay, damn it. Never mind. So screw my ideas. Yeah. And then where's he? Yeah.
He's out at the time that she's murdered. And then he gets back, falls asleep, and then he's murdered.
Like, falls asleep 2 hours seeing later. Her or saying anything?
He never went upstairs, so she's upstairs.
Right,
so that doesn't seem like unlike. I mean, so yeah, the murderer, whoever, that's definitely Lizzie. But anyways, the murderer, they just were like hung out there waiting for the dude to come home, like that's, and then go to sleep, and then
I just can't believe like coming home and like not saying goodnight to my wife.
Oh, you have to remember
it was
that
9 in the morning.
9 in the morning, but also your wife is your property and you don't really like her that much anyways.
Well, and he had asked Lizzie where she was and she said she was out with the sick friend. Right. But yeah, he's just taken a little
nap. Okay, whatever.
So
down on the sofa. He's trying to take an afternoon nap. What a peaceful time. Nice bludgeoning.
Right?
It's the worst time to get bludgeoned.
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know. I think that sounds lovely. I mean, you just are sleeping and you're
Abby who saw it coming.
Afternoon delight.
But yeah, it just seems a little weird. Especially Lizzie had come up with that whole, she went out to the barn for like 20 minutes, you know, to get the lead for this fishing trip. And she was like, yeah, they must have come in when that, you know, and gone up and killed Abby and then immediately killed Andrew. Yeah, like 2 hours in between. So, you know.
Why do you go to the hay barn to find lead? Where do you even find lead? Like...
I don't know. Yeah. During the autopsy, they also ended up cutting off both Abby and Andrew's heads and then would later produce the skulls to show off the damage from the wounds during the trial, which P.S. made Lizzie faint. Can you imagine?
Like what would they do? Just put them in a bucket and they're like, here you go. It's like, you can't, once those things are like, there's no flesh on those things, it's just going to be a pile of fucking bones.
So, like, this is where people, like, believe that she didn't do it then because she couldn't even handle the sight of it, or, like, she's playing this.
I guess that's a question. Like, do we think that, like, the regular people of this town legitimately didn't think it was her? Like, is that the consensus?
Oh, no.
Or they just all are, the like, majority, waiting for the gavel?
I think there were some people, like, this, it became a big movement for, like, feminism and stuff like that of, you know, the big man is, you know, attacking this poor, innocent, you know, virginal, blah, blah, blah. So there were some people that were like, yeah, she's totally not. And then I think the majority of the town was like, yeah, she fucking did it. But like, we're not really going to talk about it because it's like our little secret kind of thing.
Quick question.
Yeah. Yes.
And stop me if this is weird, but is there something to do with, like, a person being a virgin that makes them less likely to be violent? Like, is that something that people think?
Yes.
Really?
Especially at that time.
Yes. Being a virgin was by far, like, the gold standard of awesomeness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you weren't, and you weren't married, then you are trash.
Well, I wonder, that still hold true nowadays?
I mean, for some people, it still holds true. Yeah. Like, the same group of people that are like, yeah, we need to be a virgin until marriage.
Mm. Yeah. So, okay. But yeah, especially back then, it was like the prize to be won kind of thing. Like, literally called a fallen woman. Like, you know, a fallen angel named Satan. Like,
so a fallen angel that's 40, there must be something wrong.
Yeah. I mean, but also she, well.
Because that's what I would think if I was, like, on a jury. I'd be like, oh, that's what we want, but she's 40. So why is she not?
Well, no, because that's how she should be. Like, she, you know, she lives at home with her dad, and she's not married, and she's, you know, so she's following the rules. Should be virginal.
Oh, I see.
Yes, so she's doing what she's supposed to be doing. There's a lot of speculation, but zero fucking proof that she was actually a lesbian, and that was why she never got married, and that that was potentially, like, where some of the blow-ups might have happened, like, within the family, that, you know, they found out about it or something. But again, literally no actual evidence. So moving forward, the DA brought the case before a grand jury in November, probably hoping to not get an indictment, since the whole, like, the whole case was just a shit show politically, socially, and just, like, every which way from Sunday. But that plan was shot down when Alice finally decided to confess to witnessing the scene in the kitchen where Lizzie was burning the dress. Once she told the jury about that, she was indicted the very next day on December 2nd. Lizzie's trial began June 5th of 1893, and Lizzie knew just how to play to an audience. She demurely showed up to court each day, tightly corseted, wearing black flowing clothes and holding a bouquet of flowers in one hand and a fan in the other. So, you know.
You're like sitting in your home, you're like looking in the mirror, you're like, this is gonna change some minds right here.
I think this sounds exactly like what you need to do. If you're gonna play like the female card, like, now's the time to play. Look, I'm such a dainty lady.
Oh my goodness. She could not possess the physical strength, let alone the moral degeneracy, to wield a weapon with skull-cracking force. You know, I got the vapors. Yeah, no. So she played the girl card to a fucking T. She also had the best legal team that money could buy, and they went with the defense of basically everything that they had was purely circumstantial evidence, which it kind of was. and that there was no way whatsoever the jury could find her guilty. And it worked.
And the jury delivered. No way.
The jury deliberated for 30 minutes before finding her innocent, but they then killed another hour before declaring the verdict to make sure that it didn't look like they made a hasty decision. So they just
my God, because sexism is stronger than evidence, which we already knew that. See that on a
It hasn't changed much.
Nope.
I gotta say, if she was a lesbian, good on her. She's like, fuck you, patriarch. I ain't getting fucking married. I am I'm gonna be a virgin for the rest of my fucking life. Daddy, pay for my shit. I mean, that's pretty dope. But if she wasn't a virgin, she's a fucking scum. Oh.
Jesus.
Freeloader.
Okay. I mean, all you can be as a woman in the 1800s is a fucking freeloader. Like, that is literally your job.
Yeah,
Women and pets
sure there's other things the you same... could have the same something else.
Not for her. Not for her financial class level.
I get that. But
yes. Yeah.
But sometimes you got to step out of the norm to do some stuff. You know. She wasn't going to do that though, so that was a kind of a choice.
No.
Yeah, no, it's not.
To some degree, I would say it's somewhat of a choice because she had other options than other people had, you know, obviously, financially.
I mean, she got that $5,000 for nothing. I did read somewhere that it said that she was like unbelievably lazy or something like that. Jesus. So like she's not.
I mean, that could totally be 100% true. Again, I don't think that she had a lot of options.
Right. But if you're lazy, you're definitely not putting out the effort to,
Right. one maybe option where you go around and like pretend to be a man, like that cut might have worked.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of work.
That's too much work.
Yeah, it's too much work. Jeez. The trial ended up and kind of still has been compared to the O.J. Simpson trial in terms of publicity and public interest.
Wouldn't we say that the O.J. Simpson trial was really more compared to the Lizzie Borden trial?
Well, not according to patriarchy and sexism. You've got to do it.
Right.
Don't you know the rules?
Yeah, jeez.
I forget all the time.
I know. How dare we forget our place?
I did have the thought in this is like, I forgot that I hate humanity this much and it hasn't changed. So that did happen. Again, thank you.
Okay, cool. So after the acquittal, the sisters finally bought their house on the hill, which most of society thought they did way too fast, so they didn't like that.
They wanted them to live in the murder house for longer?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So what was this other fucking sister doing this entire time? Like,
she was still on vacation. So she was on vacation. She comes back
and her fucking shit's, her whole family's fucked.
Yes.
It was already she fucked.
She's like, you know what?
Well, yeah, it was already fucked.
Let's go buy that house. Fuck it.
They were really close. Like, she was almost like a mom to Lizzie because of the age difference. And so she very, like, staunchly stood behind her all of this happened. What?
The sister on vacation actually just got her mentally incapable younger sister to do her bidding so that she would retain her love. And so she followed through with everything.
Boom.
That's the perfect murder right there.
There you go.
Hmm.
Who knows? So they finally get their house on the hill, but their entrance into the higher society that they had always hoped for was nowhere to be found. The sisters had servants and all of the fine things that they had always wanted, but pretty much all of the Fall River upper class did believe that she was guilty, even though they like wouldn't talk about it, especially to outsiders. It was kind of one of those like, it's a dirty little secret, but it's our secret, so we're not going to tell you about it kind of thing. Hmm. I don't know. It was a weird, weird conundrum type thing. Anyways, she was ostracized by the adults and then followed and taunted by street urchins and probably some other just random kids. The rhyme from the beginning first seems to have appeared in 1894, so she probably had it sung at her during her time. Jesus. Which,
how did it go again? Can you sing it again? Weird. What is that?
Lizzie Borden took an axe, gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
There's another line to that. Did you know that one?
There's another couple lines to it. I don't remember what they are, but
I have them in front of me. Do you want them?
Yeah, go for it.
Andrew Bowden now is dead. Lizzie hit him on the head. Up in heaven he will sing. On the gallows she will swing.
Wow. Yep.
But it didn't turn out that way, but, right?
Yeah.
This was pre-trial.
So, I can't believe she's actually getting away with this. This is just...
Yeah, she totally did. You know, I mean, she's ostracized, but she's also not dead or in prison. So, you know.
Mm. I wonder if the women of the society, like, really, they were like, fuck yeah, she could do it. But they're also like, but do we want to, like, fuck with our position?
Hang out? No.
Right. Yeah, no, we know that what you did.
Like, good on ya, but also... Mm-mm. Not gonna, you can't sit with us, okay?
You smell like blood.
Ew. She did try changing her name to Lizbeth, but like that didn't, like Liz everyone Beth? Fucking knew who she
fucking,
yes. But everyone knew who she was. Her sordid past was also brought up, like basically into the limelight again about 4 years after the trial. When she was arrested for shoplifting in Providence, apparently she had had sticky fingers for like most of her life, but daddy had always kind of cleaned up the mess before she was arrested. Apparently she paid off this too, but yeah, it was a thing. And so since she couldn't really like get in with, you know, the cool kids, she decided to hang out with basically the theater kids instead. Not kids, but she totally hung out with like the artsy types and the bohemians and all of those kinds of people that basically the Hill residents would be like, ew.
Right.
So, Hill residents. Just think of hills and eyes. Like,
right.
Ew. Gross.
Ew. Gross.
She doesn't look like us.
Yeah. No. Mostly Lizzie, not as much Emma, would throw like lavish parties that raged on into the early morning hours and just like basically have a grand old time. They were like, fuck it, if you're not gonna have us, we're just gonna like live it up. But in 1905, 54-year-old Emma and 45-year-old Lizzie had a huge fight about one of these parties, and in particular, like this actress that Lizzie just seemed to be like obsessed about. And Emma moved out. And the two would never see each other again. Which was weird for how close they were. 22 years later, Lizzie would die of pneumonia on June 1st. And Emma would die 9 days later of chronic kidney disease. And the two were buried side by side in the family plot. You know,
how old was she when she died from
50, kidney? 60 something?
So are we thinking she's a drinker?
Well, that was Emma that died of chronic kidney disease. I think she was a lot more straight-laced than Lizzie was.
Right. But... Well, because Emma was taking care of Lizzie, right? That's like how that's going.
Yeah, until she moved out when she was 54.
She must have figured it out.
Probably. Well, probably and again, see, this is again where some of that lesbian theory comes in, because Lizzie was super obsessed with this this actress. Her name was, I think, Nance O'Neill, and literally the party that she threw was in honor of her, and so like they became really close for several years. And so some people think that possibly Emma saw her like being romantically entwined or some, you know, basically getting it on or something with this actress. And she was like, oh, hell no. And, you know, and left. But there's literally, like I said, there's no actual evidence, just a lot of, you know.
There was a film in 2018 of having
the one with
Chloe yes. and whoever, Kristen Stewart.
Oh, God.
I didn't see it. Oh, God. Did you see it?
What was it called?
No, just
Lizzie.
Kristen Stewart has like the acting range of a piece of cardboard. Sorry.
I love
no,
her
the one with Christina Ricci though is amazing. No. No
God,
Twilight.
Those sparkle vampires get me so hard. Oh my God.
But yeah, so they were buried side by side in the family plot, you know, like next to the parents she had murdered. So, you know, that's super fun.
Happy family.
At the time of right? Just all so happy.
Snug in a bug.
At the time of her death, Lizzie was worth over $250,000, which was roughly $5 million today, and she would donate at least $30,000 of that to her local animal shelter.
Oh.
Seriously?
It's like a million bucks. I mean, I think she likes people. I mean, animals more than people, and I can relate to that.
Yep.
Honestly, I feel like she's just playing this whole thing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that she played dumb the entire
Oh, yeah. trial? I think she 100%. One, I 100% think she was crazy. Two, I also think that she was incredibly smart. So, like, a psychopath that could, like, emulate empathy, but not actually, like, you know. So she knew how to emulate being a...
I'm sorry, I think she was just dumb.
I don't know. It seems like she had a pretty good life.
I think she just was just so lucky that she got away with this.
I mean, yeah, but also like, look at how
red paint
like.
On me.
Oh no, it's just red paint.
If you were smart, why would you even say that? Like, you wouldn't even say that. You'd just be like,
you don't even have to be that. That's the glory. You don't even have to be that bright. They're just like, yeah, you're definitely dumb.
Yeah, she couldn't have held that axe. I mean, it's like 10 pounds. There's no way.
Right. Well, did you see, like, she fainted. She fainted.
Right.
And she had her corset. I mean, corsets make you faint a lot anyway, so.
Definitely.
Not if you're used to them.
Right.
I mean,
I thought that they really did them pretty tight, though, you know, back in the day.
I can't even imagine wearing a corset. No, thank you. I don't like this one. This one doesn't make me feel good. I like when there's justice after a bludgeoning.
Sorry. I'll try harder next time.
I just like an open and closed book.
Like a nice clean ending.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
with justice,
there's gonna
be a bludgeoning. There's gotta be the
bludgeoner.
And then
a reckoning.
Yes.
I'll try harder next time.
Right?
She did it.
I mean, we know she did it.
Yeah, but.
Oh, yeah.
But she didn't get in trouble. That's
because we're so fucking sexist.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the social classes, like.
Right, yeah, no, none of that stuff. You're like, oh no.
A well-born lady could never.
I wonder if, like, the.
That.
I wonder if, like, the judge or the court, like, was pressured at all to not convict her because. To make a lady accountable for something so vicious obviously it would upturn everything that they like were used to.
Yeah, so, no, you don't. I mean, people really protect the shit they believe in.
They probably knew it was fucking her. They're just like,
yeah, and they're like, you know what? We don't even want to deal with the like implications. First of all, we don't want other women to think that they could do this too.
The court's like, we sent the fucking meter maids and they. She still got in trouble. She still
and
said,
they fucked it.
Yeah, they tried their best to not fucking like see anything. And then she's washing her clothes, burning her clothes. What an idiot.
Yep. So, all right. Well, I'll try harder for.
No, I'm not saying
week,
you have to.
Because next week we're getting spooky.
Right.
So.
There better
about
be
the same. About the same ghosts. It's going to be great. Yeah, the same. That way we can talk to them after they're in their afterlife. And maybe we can find out about Ghost Cocky.
Spookhockey.
Spookhockey, yeah.
For certain. Okay. I'm not going to let it go.
That's
I
how
love it.
That's how it ends.
It is. All right. So thank you for listening. Spookhockey and for certain. Love it. Like okay. So thank you for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. Please, please, please. Especially over on iTunes. I'm still waiting for some dad jokes, you guys. Give me
maybe they'll want to say like spookhockey jokes. Ghost sex positions. Type those into the comments.
Okay. Sure. Why not? As long as you give us 5 stars.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
I'm tempted to search it, but I'm also like, no, don't search that.
You probably don't want.
Like, the Headless Horseman.
Oh, no. Nope. Okay. Buy some shit at our merch store.
Especially socks.
Let's get spooky.
Especially socks. Let's get spooky. Next week. So we did the thing. So I'm gonna say goodbye from me.
Bye.
See you later, guys.
Thanks for listening. You can check out our website at todieforpodcast.com. If you'd like to follow us, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at todieforpodcast, as well as our fluffy fam on Instagram at todieforpodcast_fluffyfam. If you'd like to send us an email, todieforpodcast@gmail.com. Cover art is thanks to Joelle Haight, and original music was created by Vincent Amston. Have a spooky day!